This morning we'd like to draw your attention to this 17th chapter and some of the verses we just read, beginning with verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Jesus is on his way from the upper room where he has just celebrated the Passover supper with his disciples. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, he stopped and he prayed. And this is the prayer of Jesus. John records it for us here in chapter 17. And when I read this prayer, I feel like I should take off my shoes because I feel like I'm standing on holy ground. I have titled this the Lord's Prayer. I know that when we think of the Lord's Prayer, we usually think of the Our Father, which art in heaven. But in reality, that is a model prayer that he gave to us. But this is the Lord's Prayer, that intimate fellowship and relationship between the Son and the Father that Jesus prayed as he was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be arrested and led to the courts of Pilate and thus to the cross. And so he's at the end of his life's journey in the present form and ready to return to the Father in heaven. But John does record for us the prayer life of Jesus. Jesus is just a few hours away from the cross, and we find him praying. Luke's gospel, which emphasizes the humanity of Jesus, and because of emphasizing the humanity, it emphasizes also the prayers of Jesus. To me, it is an interesting thing, Jesus praying to the Father. You would think that he didn't have to pray, and yet we find him prayer being such an important part of his life. And I think, you know, if Jesus felt it necessary and saw it necessary to pray often, who are we to think that we can get by without prayer? As Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Luke points out that when Jesus was baptized by John, as he was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, descended upon him. Luke also tells us of the prayers of Jesus from the cross. As they were nailing him to the cross, he was praying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then, as he was dying, his final words from the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So as we look at the ministry and the life of Jesus, he began his ministry with prayer, and he ended his ministry with prayer. What should that tell us about prayer? Well, it should surely speak to us about the importance of prayer, about the importance of praying about all things in our lives. So let's look at this prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. I call it that because it truly is his prayer to the Father in this hour of crisis. He begins the prayer saying, the hour has come. What hour? Well, back in the early part of the Gospel of John, He speaks about that hour. He said, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The hour that he should fulfill his purpose for his Father sending him into our world. The hour to demonstrate how much the Father loved his sinful creation by placing their sin on Jesus Christ and him then dying for our sins. It would seem at the early age of 12 that Jesus was conscious of the fact that he was sent here by God for a special mission. He was with his parents in Jerusalem, there at the feast, and as they left to go back to the Galilee region with a great multitude of people who had come down for the Passover, or for the, actually for the religious celebration there in Jerusalem. When they were returning with this large group, they, about a day's journey out of Jerusalem, discovered that Jesus was not with the company. And so evidently it was probably dinner time, and with so many children just fellowshipping together, they figured Jesus was with them, but came dinner time, and that's when hungry boys are always around, they realize he's not here. And so they realized they had to go back to Jerusalem and find out where Jesus was. And so as they returned to Jerusalem and searched for Jesus, they found him in the temple, and he was talking with the scholars, who were amazed at the brilliance and the understanding of this child. And they began to rebuke him, saying, "Son, you know, we were worried about you. Why weren't you with us when we left? And you've caused us so much fear and concern." And he said, "Don't you understand that I had to be about my Father's business?" Here at 12 years old, he recognized that he was on a mission, his Father's business. And he wasn't referring to Joseph, but he was referring to his Heavenly Father. From the beginning of his ministry, he began to talk about that time that he knew would come when he would be glorified. When in Cana of Galilee, at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he was at this wedding, and the host had miscalculated the number of guests that would come to the wedding, and they were running out of wine. And so Mary came to Jesus, and she said, "Son, they're running out of wine." And he said, "What is that to me? My hour has not yet come." He was talking about an hour that was coming, but it was not yet come. This was just the beginning of his earthly ministry. We read in John 7:30, when they came to arrest him, that no man could lay his hand on him, for it says his hour had not yet come. Again in John 8:20, when he was teaching in the temple, they sent the officers to arrest him and to bring him before the high priest. And when the officers came back empty-handed, we read that they said to them, "Where is he?" And they said, "Never has man spoken as this man." But Jesus, or John, does record for us that no man laid his hand on him, for his hour had not yet come. But now, 3 years later, He is at what we call the Last Supper. He is with his disciples. They're in Jerusalem. And we read back in chapter 12, 23, that Jesus answered and said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." So up until this point, he was saying the hour has not yet come, but now he is saying the hour has come. At the Feast of the Passover in chapter 13, we read, "Now before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world and return to the Father." So, at the supper with his disciples, he is saying, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Yet it is for this hour that I came. So, Father, glorify thy Son." There came a voice from heaven saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." So the hour has come. And what is his chief desire? That the Father might glorify the Son, and that the Son might glorify the Father. Seeking glory only that he might glorify the Father. Glorify the Father for sending his Son into this world that he might die for the sins of mankind. In chapter 12, 27, Jesus prayed, "Father, glorify thy name." In chapter 13, 31, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." In chapter 14, 13, Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son." How different this is from the most of us who are seeking really recognition and glory for ourselves. Jesus was always seeking the glory of his Father. How rare it is to find a man like Jim Elliot who gave his life for Christ in trying to bring the gospel to these savage Auca Indians in Ecuador, who, while he was in college, he won the national AAU championship in wrestling in a certain weight division. Writing to his parents about this award that he received, the trophy that he had, he said, "You probably will be hearing that I won the championship in the United States for the AAU wrestling championship." He said, "I want you to know, I wasn't in it to win the contest. The purpose for my working out and the purpose for my training is that I wanted to develop a well-coordinated, strong body to give to the Lord that he might use it for his glory. It wasn't my glory I was seeking after. I wanted to have a strong body that through it I could glorify my Lord." And thus he did glorify his Lord. He became a inspiration in my earlier years to hundreds of and thousands of young men across the country to commit their lives fully to Jesus Christ. One of the major problems of our flesh is our desire for self-glory. We want the praise and the admiration of man. So many pray, "Glorify me, that I might receive the glory of man." We want to be known as the best, the greatest, and the most holy, right, reverend, It's an interesting thing how they sort of added to that title. They used to take just the title of Reverend. I've refused that title. I'm not Reverend, and I don't feel like I'm Reverend. It's a title that was given to Jesus, but I don't think I deserve it. But there are many men who have taken the title of Reverend, but then they're not satisfied with that. They added the Right Reverend, and then they added the Holy Right Reverend, and they keep adding to this title, but I guess when you go in that direction, there's probably no end to the glory that you're seeking. So we find that the Father had promised to glorify the Son. Jesus said, "You have given him power over all people." In Psalm 2:7, the psalmist said, referring and prophesying of Jesus, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, 'You are my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, and you will dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In Daniel 7:4, Daniel wrote again a prophecy, and there was concerning Jesus, "There was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." John wrote in John 3:35, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands." In Philippians 2:9, Paul wrote, "Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In Hebrews 2:8, it is written, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels that he might suffer death. And we see him crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste of death for every man." It was through the death on the cross that Jesus brought glory to the Father. It is said that the chief purpose of man is to glorify God. In the book of Revelation, as John is taken into heaven, and we see the response of the 24 elders and the cherubim, as we see the cherubim as they're worshiping God. John watches as they fall on their faces and cast their golden crowns on the glassy sea. And he hears them as they declare, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created." So in this prayer, Jesus speaks of his desire to glorify the Father. "Glorify the Son," he said, "that I might glorify you." Jesus told his disciples, "Let your light so shine that when men see their good works, they glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Not when they see your good works, they glorify you. You know, you can do things in such a way as draw attention to yourself. Jesus sort of rebuked the Pharisees. He said, when they give their money into the treasury, they sound trumpets before them. You know, here comes this particular rabbi, and look, he's dropping in, you know, $1,000 donation to the treasury. And you say, oh, isn't he wonderful? And people like to get that kind of recognition for what they do for the Lord. But let your light so shine that when they see your good works, they don't glorify you, but they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew tells us that Jesus pretty much practiced what he preached. That when in Matthew 9:9, when Jesus healed the palsied man, that the multitude saw it, and they marveled, and they glorified God, which had given such power unto men. In Matthew 15:31, when Jesus caused those who were mute to be able to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, that they glorified the God of Israel. Not glorified Jesus, glorified the Father. Luke tells us that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that the son of the widow, he raised from the dead, the son of the widow there at Nain, that fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet was risen up among us, that God has visited his people. We are to be mirrors to reflect the glory of God to the world in which we live. And we, with open faces, as we behold the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory into the same image. And we are to be a reflection of God to the world in which we live. Now, a mirror, the only time it really draws attention to itself is when it's dirty or has some flaw in it. And if you are drawing attention to yourself, just watch out. You're dirty or you've got some flaw. And have you ever noticed in a mirror, if the mirror has a scratch or a flaw in it, when you look into the mirror to see yourself, your attention is always drawn to this speck or this flaw that's in the mirror. So you don't want to be drawing attention to yourself. We want to draw attention to him. We don't want glory for ourselves. We want our lives to bring glory to him. Jesus, in chapter 15 here of John, said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. If the chief purpose of my life is to glorify God, then I need to be bearing much fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. So that will be the chief feature of my life, the love that I have for you and for others. And as that love of Christ comes forth from me to you and to others, we are fulfilling God's purpose for our existence. And so, what a blessing and what a joy it is to be able to reflect the love of God to the world in which we live today. Father, we are so grateful that we have been called to serve you and to worship you and to be, Lord, instruments through which you can accomplish your eternal purposes here on earth. Help us, Lord, that we might become everything you would have us to be, that we might bring glory and praise and honor unto your name. Lord, we just pray, use us as you desire to bring glory and to bring praise to the and worship to the Lord that we serve and that we love. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Father, thank you for the mothers that have brought us into this world, and we honor today, and we just pray your blessing upon them. And may we, Lord, just continue to respect and to show honor and praise for what you have done for us, the love that has come to us through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. The ushers, the pastors are down here at the front, and some of them were ushering earlier, so it's not completely wrong. But they're here to pray for you. And if today you feel a need of prayer, you'd like to draw closer to the Lord, you'd like to become more of what God would have you to be and have you to do, then I would encourage you, as we're dismissed, come on down and just say, pray for me. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I want to be an instrument in his hands. I want my life to bring glory to God. And I just need God's help and God's guidance. Keep me in prayer, and they'll be happy to pray for you and to just watch God transform your life and make you all that he would have you to be, an instrument of his blessing to the world in which we live. So may the Lord watch over you. May the Lord keep you in his love. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he give you peace and joy and just fill your heart overflowing with his blessings and with his love and with his goodness. And mothers, a very happy, wonderful Mother's Day as we honor you for what you have meant to us and the love that you have shown and given. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.